Hey, what's up? What's up? It's your man Sam, host of Just Talk With Sam podcast. What? Just Talk With Sam podcast. Man, we got a good one for you guys today. We get a chance to sit down and chat with Joan Stephenson. It's Joan Stephenson. Who is Joan Stephenson? Well, that comes from wherever you may have seen her perform, concert performer. She is a vocal artist slash powerhouse, blogger, writer, and editor for Flame Magazine. A strong advocate for LGBT, and the list goes on and on with her resume. She's pretty much a dynamic person, and we got a chance to sit down and talk with her. So that's this podcast. This is a great one. I undersold it by saying good. It is a great one. But before we get into all the fun that is talking with Joan, we got to do a little housekeeping. I want to say thanks to all the guys who went to samshownation.com and click the donate button. This has always been a crowdsourced podcast. I haven't forced you guys to do anything. You may have been compelled to do something from the magic of the podcast, but I digress. Crowdsourced podcast. And by going to samshownation.com, clicking the donate button, and giving whatever you gave, you have helped this grow from a small man ranting on his couch to I guess some multimedia powerhouse that we are, allegedly, according to Twitter, I should say. But either way, you guys have given us new mics, you paid for server space, you guys have been with us since day one, you are nation, you are, and you guys have been helping out a lot. So I want to say thank you to all those who hit the donate button. All those who still want to, you can always go to samshownation.com, click the donate button, and give whatever makes you feel like a good person. We put all the proceeds of this right back into the podcast to give you a better show every time in any way, shape, or form we can. So I want to say thanks to the people who have done those. To those who want to help out the show and get a little swag with it, you can just get on that laptop, cell phone, tablet, however you listen to me, and go over to samshownation.com, click the link to the store button. You can pick up some t-shirts, stickers, archived episodes, or to my Apple people, there's a free iPhone app. Well, it says iPhone, but you can use it with your iPad. You can use it with pretty much whatever Apple products allows you to have apps. By doing that, you guys are first in line for the newest podcast. You got to have an unlimited library of everything that iTunes carries. On top of that, you kind of get a little backstage stuff going on with the podcast. And, I mean, that's just a good way to do it. Any true fan that has Apple products will have that. Those who don't, we are on other platforms as well. But that's a great app we have for our Apple people. Before we get on with the show, I want to say we got a few sponsors this week. Oh, wait. I got to say this. Before we get into our sponsors, I want to say we are amped up, ready. We are ready to go. We are doing several more live shows this summer, but the big live show is the big one at the Detroit Pub. That is in Clinton Township, Harper and 14 Mile. We're going to have the roast of Sam McClain. Yours truly will be roasted by some of the regulars on the show, some of my good friends who's stopping by. Anybody who has something pretty much negative to say and has access to a mic will be roasting me. Also, we're going to have some of our musical friends stop by, probably play a few songs. We will put all of this on social media when we pretty much get a concrete set list of, you know, who wants to show up. Or we may just leave it open for some people because, quite honestly, you know, got some people, and, you know, they want to feel like jamming, they can. So either way, we will put this on social media soon, make a big to-do about it, but I just want to say, hey, Sam, I know the party is going down July 18th at 8 o'clock at the Detroit Pub. Why are you telling me in April? Because I don't want any excuses. I want everyone to have a fair chance to get out and have a great time. We're taking entry at the door. It's $10, but that's a small price to pay for some dynamic people. And quite honestly, we're going to go to the Detroit Pub and tear it up. Well, not physically tear it up, but we're just going to have a great time. So, Back to what I was saying. Sponsors. Yes, we have three sponsors today. First sponsor actually is carried over from last week. Last week, as you guys know, was Easter. A lot of you guys hit up flower.com and got some very good floral arrangements. And they are keeping it going for whatever floral arrangements you need, whether that be roses, tulips, gift baskets, you know, plants, going outside and plant things because, well, it is springtime. And you want to show your off your green thumb. You want to show, you know, some flowers. Yeah, flowers makes everything nice. So you can go that by going to samshownation.com under the current promotions tab. Click the flower.com link. And also, using the offer code Charming, like your host, Charming, you can save $10 off any online order and save $10 by putting the offer code Charming in the referral box at the top. So order whatever flowers you need. Make your Easter or post-Easter celebration be colorful and nice. And quite honestly, everything looks good with flowers. So go to flowers.com, be at samshownation.com. Next on our sponsors, hey, you want to dress up because it is spring, you got to show up in with the new, out with the old type of thing. You can always visit my guys at finishline.com by clicking the tab at the finish line tab at samshownation.com in the current promotions page. Click the finish line tab, and just by clicking that tab out the gate, you guys get free shipping on thousands of styles. You guys get your whether you're a man, woman, child, whatever, they have stuff in your size. Fan gear, MLB is up and swinging. No pun intended. You guys can represent whatever your team. I have a new crispy Detroit hat that is yet to be worn that I got from finishline.com. You can get whatever hat, shoes, paraphernalia, whatever your team gear is. You can actually shop by team on finishline.com via samshownation.com. So if you want all Detroit stuff, all Detroit stuff, all White Sox, all Cubs, all Yankees, you get what I'm saying. So go to samshownation.com under current promotions tab, click the finish line link, shop as you normally would. Lastly, and certainly not least, the granddaddy of them all, amazon.com. Let's face it, the internet was made for very few things. Online shopping is one of them, and you were going to Amazon anyway. The only thing we can ask you guys to do, take the detour, go to samshownation.com, click the Amazon link, shop as you normally would. Not going to lie to you, we get a little kickback from Amazon, and that goes, whatever money that comes back, we put right back into the podcast to give you guys a better show. So, that's enough of my plugging for today. What we're going to do, we're going to reset these mics. I'm going to sit down with Joan Stevenson, and I will be back in about 90 seconds. This is Just Talk with Sam Podcast, y'all. Just Talk with Sam Podcast. Put your name on it. If you don't talk about it, be about it.
I don't know this till like right now. Seriously.
You on iTunes, y'all.
But it's obvious, if y'all just listen, we never write this out.
How we just start the podcast is very conversational. What we're doing right now, this, you know, we're recording right now. This is how casual we are. You know, some people call it lazy, how level, the level of casual we are. Yeah. Some people, I call it casual. Just super casual. Just two buddies having coffee, talking about one person's achievements. So, Joan, but seriously, look, thank you for being on the show. Thank you for being on the podcast.
Thank you for asking me, because I... Okay.
All like, right.
You think I'm that interesting? Good. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, real talk, like, I've been sitting across from a lot of, and I'm using the term, correct me if it's not the right term, I've been sitting across from a lot of internet personalities.
Okay.
And a lot of stuff you did. I mean, we met and start talking more based on your showmanship and your love for show tunes and work with Wayne State and, you know, all that other fun stuff. But what we really hit it is, I mean, you're a writer yourself. You're a writer, blogger for Flame. And you know what? Before we get into this, elephant in the room, let's just get this out of the way. You came in here under some pretty harsh circumstances, and Taker. I mean, I felt the last night too. No. I mean, I'm curious.
Just
you know
shocked.
What? How'd you feel?
Just shocked. I couldn't believe that either.
You
that
know
was
what?
Ridiculous.
I that saw ridiculous. It coming. For the longest time, I was like, Brock gonna do it.
But why would you? Why would they have him lose this to Brock Lesnar?
But I did. You know what hit me? I thought I was ready for it mentally. I thought I was anyway. And then when I actually saw it go down, it was a shock.
Yeah, I couldn't
like,
believe that either.
Brock Lesnar can do it. He can't. He did it. I mean. And
yeah,
when you see it, it's
why?
It was bittersweet. It was just kind of like a thing where it just punched your childhood right in the face. It just.
Well, a friend of mine was thinking this is probably going to be his retirement.
Mm-hmm.
But why would you want to go out like that?
But
Brock Lesnar.
How would you think that was going to go down?
I don't know.
Exactly.
It hurts.
You're where
man,
I
hurts.
Was last night. It's just like, okay, if it didn't go out to Brock, if it didn't go out to anybody else, how did you think this was going to happen? And then the question hits me right again. I don't, yeah. Yeah, you got a point. I don't know. So, I wish him well. All right, now that we're losing it up a little bit, we had to address the elephant in the room. Because me and you are both wrestling fans. We were both kind of like giving it. I don't know if you did, but I was giving you that look. Did you see it yesterday? Did you? All right, now that we got.
I didn't know if you had either because I actually brought it with me on my flash drive in case you didn't
so
see
what'd you
it.
Do? You're just keeping it on you? Just at all times?
No, I just downloaded it before I came, so I figured.
Oh, okay.
You know, in case you hadn't seen it.
Oh, I saw it.
Oh, I saw it.
I was on the network. And in shock, like everyone else, just kind of like, yeah, that happened. That really. I mean, you don't want him to go, but he did. Look, 21 years.
Yeah.
Even before that, he had a good career. Give it to him.
Yeah, but.
I put it like this. This was the second saddest thing I want to see a person leave. The first saddest was when Ric Flair left. The championship versus career when Shawn Michaels.
Did I see that? I don't know.
Oh, it's sad.
I don't think I saw that.
Because at the last moment, he looked at Ric Flair and he said, right before he gave him the sweet, Shawn Michaels gave him the sweet chin music, he just looked across. He just said, I'm sorry, Rick. Oh, not a dry eye in the house. He just looked at him. You too old, man. I'm sorry. It's like, well, he put him away, and it was a vibe where it just kind of like, oh no. Yes. You know what? Maybe if you ask me this in about a week, I can really get the emotions
right,
straight to see which
shocked.
One is sadder. Both of them pretty sad.
Yeah.
But, Ric Flair's up there with me, mainly because
shock.
I saw it coming.
I'm still in shock. I can't do it.
So now that we got that out of the way, I had to address it. Two big wrestling fans like ourselves, you have to address it.
Yeah.
Alright, back to this half is the segue. Flame magazine.
Yes.
Like you blog for them and like
Well no, the blog that I run are There are two blogs, but they're my personal blogs.
Okay.
One is a dedicated fan blog to Matt Berry, who is a British musician, actor, comedian, mm-hmm. and the other one is just my personal blog.
Okay, okay. Now, the one that I was talking about is The World According to Jump.
Right, that's a column
okay.
that I write for the magazine.
Your column in that, okay, we'll touch on the blog just a second. We'll put a pin in that. We'll get it. But The World According to Joan, I mean, after reading that column, I mean, I like it. It's more of a editorialism. It's more, you're there, Andy. You're there, what is it, Mickey Rooney? You're there, Mickey Rooney.
No, Andy Rooney. You had it
Andy
right
Rooney. I'm thinking of Mickey Rooney, who also just passed. Died. Look yeah. at this. A bunch of pop culture just hitting us in his face right now. But yeah, you're there, Andy Rooney, because you sit back and you look at topics that may affect, you know, the general public as a whole, and you make it, you personalize it, and some stuff, it's almost like, agree with me or don't. I mean, right. Where did the idea from that come from?
Right. Well, the publisher, Peter Reyes, he used to come and see me sing at Menjo's.
Okay.
Because I used to sang there for a couple of years, and he saw me. And he contacted me, I don't know, so many months after, and asked, I'm starting a magazine, do you want to write for me? I'm like, really?
He got that from singing?
Yeah, I was like, really?
What song did you sing?
I don't know. I do a whole bunch of things, but there was this one song by Pink that he liked, and I did that for him once. Is that There You Go was like her first big hit, and
he really liked that, but
he would come back every so often to see me, and then when he was starting the magazine, he asked me if he wanted to write for him, so I said, okay, and he picked the name for the column, and I thought that was kind of cool. I said, what do you want me to write? He said, whatever you want.
Like, that is the okay. coolest look, I mean...
And then later on, the magazine started wanted to do movie reviews, and he asked mm-hmm. me if I wanted to write movie reviews. I said, sure.
Okay.
Get to see movies.
All right. Well, I mean, that works out for you.
Yeah.
So you get a chance to see movies. I think this movie was good.
Yeah.
Here's 140 characters why I think this is good. Yeah. Right? All right, I'm done? Okay, free movie? Okay, good. I know I'm kind of going out of order here because,
okay.
you know, I want to dip into my inner Tarantino, but what's happening, like, it all started, like how you just said it, this enterprise, and much like this show, or we all got in touch with you through your work on the stage. At this time, you were singing, you are no slouch to the LGBT community where it comes down to performing. You really, really, really love being on stage in any capacity. Where did that come from? How does is it just kind of like circumstantial, or I'll shut up now because I'm rambling.
I don't know where. Well, when I was little, I did. You know, everybody does stuff at school, like you said. Well, the Wayne State Connect. Mm-hmm. When I was six, I was in a dance class at Wayne State. And in elementary school, you do your little pageants and things like that, but I didn't really start thinking about what I wanted to do until I think the big moment was, I think it was 76 when the movie mm-hmm. A Star Is Born came out with Barbara Streisand and Chris Christopherson.
Okay, okay.
And Barbara Streisand is, and I will say this to my dying day, my vocal teacher. Because I taught myself how to sing listening to her records, really.
Okay.
And there was this moment in that movie where Chris Christopherson's character pulls her out on stage, and this is like her first time in a big audience, and she starts singing, and then she's scared, and she starts getting into it and rocking, and then they go to a montage where she's doing all these concerts, and that moment was, that's it, that's what I want to do. I want to stand on a stage and sing what I want to sing and just have everything be there. And I was 12 years old, I think, when that happened. And it's like, who decides that at 12?
Everyone.
Who decides that at 12? But I didn't really think about it that much. I wanted to do it, but when I got to high school, And I was doing choir and doing show choir back then. So I lived through the Glee experience.
Okay.
So we did show choir and we competed and things like that. And that's when I really wanted to get into it more.
Okay.
But I never really thought about it. Things like musical theater scholarships and things like that, I had no clue. I had no clue these things even existed.
So you just wanted to just go out and just sing,
yeah.
Essentially. Just, hey, where's the stage? Oh, okay, cool.
Exactly.
And, yeah.
Exactly. That's basically it.
Okay. But your voice has opened. Okay, and I'm using the term. What? Oh, that's like the smartest thing I said today. Your voice has opened up so many doors for you because your voice, whether it be writing, whether it be actual singing, I mean, like, you have many accolades from that, whether that be local, whether that be being on stage with just like the colleges or working with different groups. You got your own CD out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, this is not the time to be modest. I mean, you just kind of like, yeah.
I'm not used to talking about myself. Well, if I am, people aren't usually listening to me. So...
Well, we're talking to roughly, I don't know, 20 to 40,000 people right now.
Oh, good Lord.
No pressure. Whenever they decide.
Hi, gang.
Not right now. We're taping this. This will go on the internet, but it goes on the internet. I don't think they're going to erase the internet anytime soon.
Mm.
So, yeah. I mean, it's okay. You can be proud of yourself.
Yeah.
Like, you're not throwing it in the face. You're like, yeah, I did this. But, I mean, it's a good track record for a person who was 12 and just wanted to be like, yeah, you know, I just want to sing. I'm going to pipe in some Streisand, and I'm going to go sing. I'm going to go buy my ticket for Beaches, and then I'm going to learn that. What? Okay. If you're a Streisand fan,
you must
own that movie. That's just what it is.
Okay.
How many times do you
Beaches, buy? Beaches. You know, I haven't seen Beaches that much. That was Bette Midler, by the way.
Bette Midler?
Beaches, yeah.
Okay, I suck.
Hate to. No, it's okay. But, you know, I don't want to lose any cool points with anybody. I've only seen that movie maybe 3-4 times.
Yeah, because not Streisand.
And that's it.
You just corrected me.
No, I love Bette Midler, too, but, I mean, I'm not the kind to sit down and watch weepy movies all the time. I can't do it.
What, you're not a crier?
No, not unless... I think the last movie I cried at, Perks of Being a Wallflower, that was the last movie I cried at.
Really? That's... Hold on. That's too far down the movie list. It's too, like... Granted, I didn't cry. However... Now we got that out of the way.
Right.
Granted, I didn't cry. It's some movies. Look, I've said this on this podcast. I'm mad enough to say this. The last movie I legitimately cried on was Brian's Song.
Oh, Lord.
The original. The original.
Good Lord.
Mainly because Billy Dee tried to get you to cry every 13 minutes. Like, Billy Dee always had a speech. It was, honestly, if you describe it, it kind of sounds like a comedy, but it is, you know, kind of like tragedy plus times equal comedy.
Right, right.
Because that movie was about cancer, and that is not a funny subject
right.
at all. But if you describe the movie, it's like, yeah, Brian Piccolo, he was a great football player. He gets cancer, and then nothing goes right for him. And then they trick you in the movie. In the movie, they keep tricking you. Like, he's going to keep living.
No.
It was like, he goes, I think we found a cure. Doctor comes back next thing. No, we didn't.
No, right. I think that's a legitimate point for any guy to say, yeah, I cried at Brian's Song.
Yeah, I cried at Brian's Song.
I mean, that's a legitimate cry for
all right,
a guy.
First of all,
I mean,
guys can cry. There's a handful of movies. Brian's Song is there. Anything with Cicely Tyson. That is all. That is all. That's it. That's all we can cry. If anything, John Q almost got me there. Had that movie, it would have been 10 minutes longer.
You didn't see John Q? That was Denzel, right?
Yeah.
I never saw him.
You never saw John Q?
The one where his son was denied.
It was his son went to the hospital. He had the heart thing.
Yeah, okay.
And he had to get a heart.
I never see that.
You never seen it?
Mm-mm.
Okay. We're going to stop this podcast right now. We're going to crank open that Netflix, and we're all going to cry to John Q. Well, not me, but you can. Okay. But if that movie was 10 minutes longer, yeah, I would have cried to John Q. I mean, that it's okay. Well, not really. But, you know, we'll let it slide. You know, I forgot what I was talking about a little bit. But either way, my whole point with this was your voice, I mean, you can be okay with, like, you did a lot of cool stuff. It's fine.
Yeah.
Like,
I like a lot of different things musically. I hate the fact that the music industry pigeonholes people into different categories. You're this person, you're rock singer, you're rock star, you can't do anything else. You're a jazz person, you can't do anything else. You're a country person, you can't do anything else. And that just irks me. That drives me mad to no end.
You gotta think.
At somebody like Garth Brooks. Garth Brooks is a great country artist. He's also a Billy Joel fan. He likes pop music. He had to create a separate person to be able to do pop music.
For the record, Chris Gaines, I really would have thought that one through if I was Garth. I really would have really thought that one through. But yeah, good example. He is a good crossover artist. And a lot of people in that country realm, it's a little bit easy for them to cross over to pop. Actually, in any music genre, it's easier to go to pop than it is to go to anywhere else. Mainly because I think it's more of a, and this is my dime store diagnosis right here, my dollar store diagnosis. Like when you, as an audience, you start growing your fan base. You don't want to stray too far from your fans in unfamiliar territory. So the safe bet most artists I've seen do is throw out a single on the record, like, how did they like that? Yeah, all right. And then they go a little bit further. Yeah. But if you don't get that response that you're looking for, you don't get it.
But like, it kind of... what's the word? I'm kind of stymies
you. Toy with
you
those elements,
as an
you know?
Artist. I mean, if you're a real artist, you want to grow, you want to expand, you want to try something, and if you feel like, okay, this might be good, this might be where I want to go, but you're stopped by the record company. No. By the fans, there are going to be fans that who will accept you as an artist and respect that you want to do something, but then there are those fans. Oh no, I'm not going to tolerate anything different.
But there are some people who put it out on Front Street. Okay, there is one person that I'm thinking of right now who put it out on Front Street. They're like, you don't go with me or not. And that's Janelle Monáe.
Okay.
But even in that example, I agree with you. She still kind of pigeonholed just a tad bit. But she did put it on Front Street. Like, look, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go this way. I feel like this for this song, yada yada split.
But I think she's early enough on in her career where that is acceptable, because she's not, even though she is a star, she's not as totally mainstream as other people. So she's what would be like an indie almost, sort of,
more kinda, or less, yeah.
So she's like, there's this little bubble and she can experiment within that.
But that's where now, kind of going to bring it back to you, where you have those elements, or you have played with rap, pop, rock, your own, like you said, you love show tunes. That's, and I guess some people just want to be successful in that one groove, but you put yourself out there in all aspects. And I mean, you can ask this better than me. How was that received? Because you can be in that bubble and do what you do creatively, and you feel great for it.
I think it's helped me in that. Well, when I got started singing, I used to enter a lot of contests around the city. And more often than not, I would be singing a Barbra Streisand song. And I think that helped me, because the last thing people expect to hear coming out of a large black woman is Barbra Streisand's voice.
Fair.
So,
but
I wasn't doing it for that reason. That's what,
no, it's just,
where
that's
I came from. That's
know.
what I feel. So
yeah, it's just some things, believe it or not, you could win over a crowd for what you know. we kind of talked about this last week on the podcast. I throw myself under the bus a lot because, well, it's my show. But as an example of this, I'm a karaoke whore. What that means is I am notoriously good at singing what the crowd likes.
Likes, okay.
I will sing what the crowd likes just to warm you up, just so they were like, yeah, he sung that song we like. And then I will flip on them. Like, and then I'll do whatever I want. Like, I love Prince. I'm a Prince guy. I love Prince. So I'm going to start with "I Want to Be Your Lover," something that the crowd, everyone knows.
Prince is universally liked anyway. You can't go wrong with Prince.
You can't go wrong with it. I like how you just said that.
You can't go wrong with Prince.
Now I follow "I Want to Be Your Lover." Meanwhile, 5'8" black dude who I guess I'm a baritone. I mean, my normal speaking voice. Guess. Mm-hmm. You the music expert, tell me if I'm wrong.
I'd have to hear you sing, I guess.
But either way, really I'd hit those Prince notes. Yeah. Meanwhile, it's karaoke. Don't get your hopes up. I can't really sing. I mean, and then I will chase that with, I got the crowd warmed up. Like, he's going to do another one we like. I chase it with, like, Matchbox 20's 3 AM, mainly because that song, A, I'm a closet Matchbox 20 fan. Let's just start there. Somebody had to tell me I was, like, a big Matchbox 20 fan. Mm-hmm. I'm dead serious. In college, someone just tapped me on the shoulder. You know you're a Matchbox 20 fan. Like, they outed me. He was like,
No, I
just like a couple songs. Sam, you have all of their albums.
No,
you
I got
Rob
no problem
Thomas
with that, but if
twice.
You said Dave Matthews, I'd be upset.
Look, DMB, I would defend DMB. Okay. This is an uphill battle, but I will defend DMB for this reason. Okay, hold on. Anything he does by himself and the guy with the fiddle, yes. Anything where he involves the entire city of New Orleans, apparently, no.
Okay.
Like, I'll give you Crash. I'll give you, you know what? I'll give you Trippin' Billy's. I'll give you those two songs. And that is all. With Dave Matthews. Yeah, look at that. See that? I was a music manager at Media Play all through college.
Oh,
I had
Lord.
To know this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I had to know this stuff. Even though, goodness. I ain't going to lie, I do miss that job. I didn't get paid a lot. I was just a jerk, but it was cool to pay me to be a jerk. Like, if someone came up with their musical selections, I think I got a chance to kind of like almost judge them from what they had. And I was such a dick. And like, really? All right, man, whatever. It's your money. One dude I made, he was, you know what? I was a jerk, but this guy kind of deserved my snarkiness. One day we will get back to the point of this podcast, okay. But he deserved my snarkiness because he was that, like, corporate, you know, the song Mr. Big Stuff, that's him. They were singing about him.
Okay.
And he had some CD. I think he had, like, he had 98 Degrees. I remember it.
Mm.
And he was like, yep, getting this from a girl.
Okay. Well, and that's if he's buying it for his girl or his daughter or whoever. Okay, that's
he never specified girl. Girl could have been daughter. Girl could have been girlfriend. Girl could have been wife. He just the air of how he said it. It was laced with so much douchiness. It's like someone took his sentence.
Getting this from my girl.
Yeah. Like someone took his sentence and just so douchiness in every letter of the sentence.
Damn.
And I just stopped him. It was like, yeah, I'm buying this from a girl. And I picked up 98 Degrees. I was like, oh, is she in a coma? And then just rang it up. Whatever, man. What you gonna do? You don't pay me. Whatever.
Right.
But yeah, that's me defending Dave Matthews right there. But you know what? I'm glad you're here with the podcast. This is the spirit of the podcast. Dumb fun. We'll talk about your accolades, but we're gonna have some dumb fun as we do it.
Oh my goodness.
We talked about Taker for the first 5 minutes. I mean, come on. But my whole point is you have this in you, like the gene. You are a constant performer. I mean, even in your Even in your writing, I see the passion in it. Where it just, like, I want to take two things that you wrote for Flame. Because they both, I do some homework. I mean, before I sit across from someone. But, like, the two things that really, like, stuck out to me is the one about Billy Joel. How you were a Billy Joel, excuse me, you, Hangover 3 ignited you to be a Billy Joel fan.
Well, no, I already was. I was when I was a teenager, but when I went to see Hangover, the last Hangover, I hadn't seen the other two.
Okay.
So I watched those before I went, and Zach Galifianakis' character is a hardcore Billy Joel fan, and I thought that was nice, and they picked good songs, and it just made me feel, it's like, yeah, I remember that. I remember those albums, and I started going back and finding them and downloading them again. It's like, it brought it all back for me. It's
you
kind of weird from that movie, you know, from those movies.
That's what it does. It kind of like reignites this thing. And watch this journalism professionalism right here. This is it. This is it. He is a person who experimented with different genres as well.
Oh yeah, you can. They call him pop rock, but all of it, you listen
all
to all
of it.
He's got classical. He's got big classical influences. He's got all kinds of things going on in his music, and he always has. And he writes. He's actually written some classical pieces.
Yep.
So that's and nobody
like
gave him
out.
Flack
that's
for
a stage
it.
Play.
Right.
Stage play of Moving Out. Yeah. See that? That's called a callback. I am done being professional.
And nobody
this
gave him flack for it because he, to me, he was one of those artists that you couldn't really pigeonhole in the beginning. So anything he did was acceptable.
Exactly. Like, when he did stuff, he didn't make a big scene out of it. He just wrote what he felt that he should write. Mm-hmm. Another person, and I hear the iPods turn off as I say this sentence. I'm hearing them turn off. However you listen to me, Facebook, I see laptops shutting down. Another person.
Oh, God, who?
Who is doing this. But going about it, experimenting with different genres. I'm saying it, Kanye. Yes, Kanye Kardashian. Okay, look, hear me out.
I would not know. All I know of Kanye West is what I hear in pop media and episodes of South Park. That's it.
The episodes of South Park aren't wrong. They're not wrong. It's just he. Kanye,
he is a world unto himself. I mean, I'm not saying he's not good.
It's just,
but he just has a bigger head about him.
Exactly. Right? Now, which is interesting because Billy Joel has a wear size 8 baseball hat. I should not know that. And yet, Kanye is the one with the big head. I should not know that, but yeah, I do. Either way, but what I'm saying is that vocal where it's accepted, where he can go off and he can experiment with new genres and, you know, musical entities and things like that. And like when you perform, there are some YouTube stuff on you. You, Joan, yes, the person who sit across from you. Like when you perform with like After Midnight.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. So I can see where you're pulling that from. Yeah, he did do homework. Look at him. You're like
hey, wow.
It's the internet.
Yeah.
But
that's
you have
scary. Dozens.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. What? You don't have a Wikipedia page, so I had to Google stuff.
No.
You don't. But this
I'm not
is
that important.
Well, it's weird because if you took everything on Google and just put them in one location, A, it would have saved me 35 minutes. And B, yeah, each page had a different accolade.
Oh,
like,
okay.
When you. But back to, like, After Midnight, you get a chance, being the constant performer you are, you get a chance to experiment with different genres to some degree.
It's all in what they want to play because they're mostly kind of bluesy. Mm-hmm. And the first time I ever got anywhere near anything blues for me personally was when Pat Benatar put out I can't remember the name of the album, but she put out a blues-influenced album in the late 80s, early 90s. And that was the closest I ever got to singing blues. But, yeah, we do blues and classic rock. So.
Okay. But even with that, you yourself are challenging yourself. You're not really stuck in those genres. You are pushing yourself. So, yeah, that's where that kind of like the worlds collide right then and there. You took, okay, we just named three musical genres. Your ability for, I guess it's show tunes. I don't, the exact words like Broadway or whatever. You got classic rock. You got blues, jazz, kind of fusion. Four, really. I mean,
I haven't conquered jazz yet. I'd like to. Because I realized a few years ago, because I started listening to more jazz, because the radio station, the, what is it? I can't remember, 90.9 during the day, they're classical, and at night they're jazz, and I just have the station on all the time. So I got to listening to mainstream jazz that I hadn't listened to for years, except when WJZZ was on there.
Right.
So I really started listening to jazz, and I just realized jazz is nothing but standards and show tunes in different times. Signatures, that's all it is.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm like, I think I can do this. And the first thank you, Caffeine. The first artist.
Welcome to my world.
I listened to that made me realize this and made me realize that maybe I could do this. Her name is Tierney Sutton. She is a fabulous jazz vocalist. And I first heard her sing. I'm like, yeah, I can do this.
Okay.
I can do this. But it's just getting to the point where I can do it. That I've been trying to get to for a while now. And
with,
still trying.
With these, like, I read on your bio where you said you made your first CD and you're feeling good. Do you think any of these feelings would influence your second or follow-up? Or will it be more of a... Like, you mentioned Streisand. I went the other way with Streisand. Like, Streisand got me as the music manager at Media Play. She came out with a CD of standards, much like everyone that year. It was like a lot of people towards, and I'm not speaking ill or anything about her, any other artist. It's just towards the twilight of your career, you start going standards. You start, She's That Way, Rod Stewart.
I think Rod Stewart was the person that kicked it off for everybody because it got to be so successful. But that's why they're called, these songs are called the Great American Songbook. I mean, these are accepted songs. No matter who does them, somebody somewhere is going to love them because you love Gershwin, Cole Porter, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah,
so.
Jesus Christ. Like, Queen Latifah had a standards album. Yeah, she did.
Yeah, but she
tricked everybody. She used a real name. She used a real name. It was Dana Owens. And I'm a dumbass because while working at Media Play, I'm like, the Dana Owens album kind of look like Queen Latifah. And no one corrected me.
They just knew.
Oh, they fucking knew. They knew.
They're in the back lounge.
That's exactly what happened. They were just for like a day and a half. Yeah, just Dana Owens. I don't know why I like her, man. She sounds familiar. And then, well, Google wasn't as prevalent as it was.
Right.
And then it hit me. That is Queen Latifah. And there you go. Like somewhat, you know what? I'll put her on blast. Teresa was the book manager at Media Play. In the like little book department, because if you remember that story, it was like split up in fours. You had music, movies, books, and like toys.
Yeah.
And she pulled me aside, like, Sam, Queen Latifah and Dana are the same person. For real? Yeah, you always got to get it. For real? Yeah. All right. And to this day, you know what? I kind of thank Teresa for that because I don't think anyone would have told me because I love my friends, but they are jokers just like me. They will probably let me continue to think this for the rest of my life.
That's funny, man.
But my point is the whole thing with standards, like you, at least on your SoundCloud page, I could say, mainly Broadway and show tunes. But I think I remember seeing, like, one from the Great American Songbook, if I'm not mistaken. I'm trying to remember SoundCloud. Granted, this information was looked up. Is that a Reverb Nation, if I'm not mistaken?
I think all the stuff I did was, like, show tunes.
Alright, maybe that's me.
With a couple of, I know there was a thing that I, an electronic music thing I did when I was in college. I put that up there.
You ever think about going back to electronica?
Well, I say electronica because it was done on a Korg workstation, but if I had the toys, yeah.
Maybe a little dubstep album? What's
up? The software I wanted to have, which is the new version of Cubase.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I'd have an orchestra at my fingertips. I could probably do something.
Okay.
Except mix well. That's my problem.
Well, you got to find a good... That's where you team up with like-minded people, and they can mix and
right,
blah, blah,
blah.
But
you have to pay those people.
Yeah.
I have
more
money.
There you
do.
Oh.
Starving artist, you know.
Well, yeah, but... you talked about Billy Jean. Yeah, believe it or not, I have to go back to this because we were talking about this. This is, I like this. This is all, we'll start a point, we'll jump into something, we'll come right back. Don't feel left out because I remember what we was talking about. We were talking about Billy Joel, remember?
Yes.
We were talking about the Billy Joel column.
Yes.
Now, was it, like, I remember how passionate you were about Strangers, which, great album, actually. Do you have a certain... memory or a certain like, oh, I don't like this song for this. I was at the 8th grade dance and blah, blah, blah happened. Or is it just...
Not really. It just started with, at the time, the single out was the song Just the Way You Are.
Mm-hmm.
And the way this came from my mom. When my mom liked a song, she would buy the whole album instead of the 45, but she would only play that one song on the
yep.
album. So I ended up playing, I sat and listened to the whole album,
mm-hmm.
and that's how I got into him. And then eventually after that, every time she went to the record store, it was, used to be down the street, Sam's Jams, it's Rosie O'Grady's
yep.
now, she would buy an old Billy Joel album. So that's how I got all of his records up to a certain point. And from that point on, I bought them as they came out. So there's no specific
memory.
Moment in life.
But actually, that is the memory. You walking down the street from where we are right now, Sam's Jams, and going to... but so that's the memory in itself. That was a lovely story. And apparently, my mom and your mom know each other because my mom did that same thing. It wasn't Billy Joel. I can tell you the song. You know, it's such a good song, but I don't like it because she did the same thing. She bought the album
and just played that song to death.
Song. Oh, God. How does that... Either way, it was Shirley Caesar. I remember Mama. To this day, I can't listen to that without being like, really, dog? Really? Like, I appreciate the song. I know it's a great message in the song. Yeah.
Yeah, but you heard it so much, you can't.
Oh, yeah.
Just can't deal with
oh,
it no more.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I can't be in the same room. I can't. And,
yeah,
like.
For me, that's like anything. No, for me, that song is I Will Always Love You by Whitney Houston.
First of all, Whitney, really?
Yes,
Whitney?
God. Oh, God.
What happened? I'm
no,
curious.
No, it's just that I'm so tired. It's just, was so tired of that song. Every audition you go to, at the time the band I was singing with had to sing that every night, and... First of all, people, oh, this is such a great way to use this song. First of all, the song was written by Dolly Parton for the movie Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. So
yep.
I knew it from the original Dolly Parton. So whenever I sang it, I would do the second verse. I would speak the second verse like she did in the original song. So
yeah.
It's like, yeah, Whitney, it's like, oh, don't go to an audition, please. Because you will either hear that or The Greatest Love of All umpteen million times. It's like, no. After a while, you just get tired of hearing
but
it.
But it's The Greatest Love
no,
of All.
No, no, no.
Love inside
no.
of me.
No.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thank you. Next.
Satchel Chocolate.
Right.
He,
she's
like,
your queen.
I think I love that song more because he ruined that song. You cannot sing. You can't say that song without thinking of
right?
Sexual Chocolate. Good, because the greatest love of
that
all
was best.
Inside of me. Yeah,
it
yeah,
is.
Yeah.
Mic drop.
Oh, man. Oh, God, that's such a classic movie.
Oh, God.
Man. everything about that movie I love. Even the like little interludes and the little songs, the little stuff in the background, like the soul glow. I wish that was a real song. Just let your soul glow.
There was no soundtrack released. It could be a song.
Well, yes, there is a soundtrack to Coming to America. None of those songs are on it. The actual songs are like, I would just love the little interludes and the little McDowell's commercial.
Yeah.
Like, oh, the McDowell's commercial is, yes, I want there to be, instead of the Big Mac, we got the Big Mac. Such a rip off of McDonald's. Oh man, now I want to go back and watch it. I want to go back and watch the movie now. Like when he was singing "To Be in Love," coming down the street, and everyone's telling him to shut the hell up. Oh god, that is such a that's such a good movie for horrible songs. Man, oh man. I forgot my point. I had a point before this started, but yeah, it's such a good movie with bad songs, and I don't know how to do it, so I'm just gonna keep moving on.
Okay.
Like, you know what's so cool about this? I don't look at my notes. If I'm having a good time, I'm not looking at my notes. I'm just kind of like, and I'm just having a good time.
Okay.
But before we get out of here, I want to talk about your blogging and writing. I know you said personal, but you're writing for Flame. Do you see yourself just, like, your observations are pretty good. You see yourself doing something more in the writing field? I mean, you already said something. Well, I guess what I mean by writing, maybe songwriting?
You have to songwrite
your CD.
Yeah, I mean, the CD was all show tunes.
Well, yeah, I'm talking about the new one.
Oh, I don't know. I would really have to... See, I don't create my own music. I don't play.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I do, but not well enough to accompany myself and create tracks and all that. I do... I'd have to do it with karaoke tracks. And see, that's the problem now. I want to get to the point... I am at the point where I want to sing the... I want to sing the music the way I want to sing it and not be confined by having to cut my performance down to fit the karaoke track.
Okay.
And the only time I do get to do some creative stuff, because I record, I guess it's kind of like a sideline business. I guess I record music for drag performers.
Okay.
When they're for doing pageants. And sometimes they'll want to reword a song or
How
change the gender of a song.
How many times did you reword the Weather Girls as Random Man?
Oh, no, I've never done that.
You didn't? No.
Or
you just took the stand to not do it?
No, no one's ever asked me. Like the last one I just did, it was I think she's running for Continental Plus, which is a big regional pageant for drag queens, and she wanted me, and I did Go the Distance from Disney's Hercules, but I changed some of the words to fit what she was doing and added a line about Continental. So it's kind of a surprise when the judges are sitting there and they hear original lyrics or hear something maybe directed at them, or, you know, it kind of gives them, the performer, maybe gives them a little bit of an edge or makes them look better to the judges or something like that.
Okay.
But even if it's not for competition, if they want to do something different, I will, you know, whatever you want, tell me what your vision is, and I can record it, because I record at home. I have equipment at home, and I can do that.
Fair enough. All right. Believe it or not, we're almost at an hour.
No.
It just went by that quick. I know. But I don't know if you figured it out. We play games on a podcast.
No,
you're like,
Lord.
Really? Of course we do. It's one big fun time playing games.
We do.
One game we like playing, we call it Hell Gig. This is where you talk about a performance. We do this a lot with a lot of our artists.
Okay.
We do a lot of speed round dumb games. One is Hell Gig. One is, what was the band's name before the band's name? If I'm talking to a band.
Okay.
And I've gotten some great answers from that. We talk about, like, we ask dumb questions, like, what's your favorite soap? What soap you use? Like, quick. Okay. It's fun. It's dumb fun. It's dumb.
Okay.
Or we talk about one thing we have been doing lately is guilty pleasure. You know what? Never mind, Hellgate.
Okay.
You're a singer. One thing we like playing. You're the first singer that we play this game with. We call it guilty pleasure songs.
Okay.
You know the song you play in your car?
Okay.
When no one's listening, no one is paying attention to you, and you're just in the car doing it. In the last podcast, I was talking to Rachel Simone, great woman, and I told her lately my guilty pleasure song has been Miguel Adorn, and she got in my head, and now my new guilty pleasure song is Roar by Katy Perry. So now, Roar is on the radio. You can see she's in my head. So I'm curious, what is your... It's your jam. You're not afraid to... Well...
Anything.
You're in the shower or you're driving your car. It's your jam. You don't care how bad you sound. You don't care how good you sound. That is it.
Hmm.
And you would be mortified if someone found out that was
really?
It. Your guilty pleasure song.
I don't think I have one. Because I like a lot of different music, so it...
Before Rachel Simone got in my head, and before Adorn by Miguel, mine was Seal's "Kiss from a Rose."
Okay.
Oh, I would tear that up.
I love that song. It's like
but I'm so bad at it. There's a green tower alone in the sea. I always do the finger. I know this is not a visual medium, but I always with the high notes I point up because I'm a child. It was like you were there. Every time the light.
I really don't think I.
And then I bring it home. Every time I say the lyrics, my power, my pleasure, I have to do this. I don't care if I'm driving. I have to do the fist as I do.
You fall, you need pain.
Yeah. My wife asked me to stop doing that shit. No, she pulled me aside like it was an intervention. Sam,
baby,
you need to
you know
stop
I love you,
doing
but...
that shit.
Baby, you know I love you, but...
No, I didn't even get that. I got the stop doing that shit. Stop it. And then all of a sudden, Adorn got in my head. So now I'm saying, I don't even know the lyrics to Adorn. That's what's interesting. I just know the hook. So that's more of a testament to Miguel. Because all I know, baby girl, let me adorn you. Woo!
Okay.
But
I don't know the song, so I can't speak to it. I don't.
You don't have a guilty pleasure song?
I don't.
Would you listen to before
sing
you
sing anything?
Came?
We used to do this thing when I did karaoke called Karaoke Roulette, where they would just throw out like a number of the side of. At that time, there were two sided huge discs, and a number, a letter, and another number. It would be the track listing side A or B, and then no matter what it was, you had to sing it. I'd do it.
Okay.
It didn't.
We do something close to that when we go karaoke. We'll say like the person who sits across from you pick your song.
Okay.
That is dangerous. I think the last time we did that, we got to get back out to karaoke. I think the last time I sung "Hot and Cold" by Katy Perry once again.
Okay.
"Hot and Cold" by Katy Perry. Tore it up. Because that was, luckily it was one that the crowd helps out. And,
right.
Well, this has been fun. Little Miss, we don't have a guilty pleasure song. They're all pleasures to me.
I know.
Whatever. You'll tweet me later.
Well, like music? No. TV shows? Yes.
What? You don't do...
See, the whole thing is people take guilty pleasure and they use it as a point of pride. Guilty pleasure means something you feel guilty about liking. Or you're afraid to admit.
Yeah.
I think the only guilty pleasure TV, I've got Tim and Eric's awesome show, great job.
You sing the lyrics to Tim and Eric?
No. I mean TV shows.
Okay, that's your guilty pleasure. Which is fine. There's no wrong answers with this.
And maybe one or two of the Housewives shows on Bravo.
I know this game has no wrong answers. That's closest to it. But I get it.
But music,
I get it.
Nothing's off limits musically. Unless okay. I just don't want to sing it at all.
Okay. We have to end on a silly note, but before okay. we end on a silly note, mainly because we're going to have fun, that okay. We got to have fun on this podcast, okay. But before we get out of here, any social media information you want to give out?
I am on, excuse me, I am on Twitter, LadyJ8, I am on Facebook, Joan Stevenson's music page, and I have my regular Facebook. Mm-hmm. Which is Joan Stevenson. My two blogs on Tumblr. I know we didn't talk about Matt Berry, but Matt Berry
totally
blog is A Bit of Matt Berry. And my personal blog on Tumblr is House of Wonder and Chaos.
All right.
One word.
We had so much fun. I have my notes right here. We didn't get into it, but I will make sure I put all of the information on our
Yay.
Facebook page, our all of our social media information when this goes up. As always, you can, you know what, let's end on a silly note.
Okay.
Because, you know, you're a singer, and I know all the lyrics to this song, so let's use whatever synergy we have. I know you know this song.
Uh-oh.
Know the theme to Golden Girls?
Oh, God, yes.
Let's close out the podcast by singing it. lyrics to the Golden Girls. I'll start off. I'll do the beat. Boom, boom, boom.
Thank you for being a friend.
Boom, boom, boom. Travel
down the road and round again.
Boom, boom, boom.
Your heart is true. You're a pal and a confidant.
But boom, boom, boom.
And if you're through a party,
I don't know why my arms went like
that. Everyone you knew. You would see the greatest gift would be from me, and the card attached would say, thank you for being a friend.
Boop, 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 boop.
Good Lord.
You didn't think you was going to sing the Golden Girls in the middle of a coffee house, did you?
No, I did not.
All right, I got to put my serious face up. But all things related to the podcast can be found at samshownation.com, Facebook / Just Talking With Sam, Instagram Just Talking With Sam, and on the tweets is samshow11. Joan, thanks again for coming and having
Thank
fun with us.
Thank you
for having...
inviting me. I just hope I didn't put anybody to sleep out there.
And Nation, we will see you guys next week. Peace out, y'all.